Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Michelle Manders, Palace of Peak Talk Radio, and we are broadcasting live from Johannesburg in South Africa. And today I am accompanied by my co-host, Faith Parent Hendrickson, and our special guest for today, my husband, Sean Manders. This is our first introduction to Straight Talk with Sean Manders, keeping it super simple. So we're very excited about today's talk, having Sean join us and share his views on our theme for today. And how are you, Faith?
I am great. Thank you very much. I'm back home in North Carolina, so it's 7 o'clock
why
in the morning
so
instead
clear.
Of... Yeah, I'm on an actual landline, not a cell phone.
I'm sure you're glad to be at home, right?
Oh, been 3 months. It's wonderful.
Great, great. Well, hello to your family. And when do you go back to Hollywood?
April 2nd. So I'm going to enjoy every moment. And I know you had a nice long family weekend yourself, and it's really nice to be able to bring Sean on board as you're wrapping up a intense few days there.
Yes, it was an intense few days. My husband Sean is a power lifter, and the competition this weekend was absolutely fabulous. He won right across the board, so he's our official South African powerlifting champion of champions. So I'm very proud of him, and he's
congratulations, here today to flex. Sean. That's awesome.
Thank you, Faith. So he's yet to flex some other muscles today. His brain muscles. So Sean is live with us in studio, and his time is unfortunately limited. So Faith, what I would like to do is if we can start off with Sean, as you know, and let's, you know, dive straight into our theme and topic for today, and then when Sean has to get going, then you and I can wrap it up and tie the loose ends up. So the other thing is we've also got a headset trouble, so Sean and I are sharing a headset here, so bear with us, we're improvising, but it's going to be worth it. Sean has some really, really interesting things to share with us. So Faith, is there anything you would like to say to our listeners in opening up to today's theme or today's topic? It was a very important one for you, because you did speak about it before we scheduled the show in our last show. So is there anything specific you want to open up with, or just go straight in with Sean? How would you like to go with this?
Well, I think for me, I've got angel bumps all over me right now, by the way. I'm very excited for this show, and I'm really appreciative that Sean is on this call as a man, as a father, as a husband, because of the fact that codependency, I think, is probably one of the most important topics, whether you're married, in a relationship or not. It truly affects who we are as individuals, or becoming individuated in our true lives, who we are, who we were meant to be. And I think sometimes we hear a term so much that we almost become complacent to it, really don't know and understand the meaning and the importance of it. I think, as we've talked on many of the programs, men and women have had this, you know, battle of the sexes for so long. And it affects everything, all our relationships, whether it's family, intimate, work, it's all of it, because it really affects our relationship with ourselves. If you're new to our show, Michelle and I are very, very passionate about the health of a home life. And if you don't have the stability and the nurturing and the good foundation of a home life, nothing else can work. So that's really why this was a very important program for me as we talk this year about being more individuated with the work that we're doing with Lord Uranus, deconditioning from the Saturn. And it's challenging, but you can do it. And I'd really like to know what Sean might think about it or any questions he has or things he just wants to go ahead and start and speak about. So, Sean, it's really nice to talk to you again. It's been a while since we spoke.
Hi there, Faith.
Hi there.
When Michelle gave me this topic and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of things about I need to get to the point in and starting with this is to start with independence. And a lot of people don't quite get what it means to be independent. The best I got for the topic to be independent is individual that wants to be self-reliant because they want to be recognize their full potential as an individual, but one who simultaneously and securely interconnects with others. So it is fine that yes, there is a problem of codependence, but we need to, because we all strive for to be independent and what it means to be independent. Does that make sense for you?
Yes, I really love this topic. As a man, as a man, how does that look like for you? Because there's certain ways that humanity expects you to be. I don't know if you want to talk about it as going from a little boy to who you are today and what that looks like for you then versus now kind of a thing.
Oh, yes, it's a big difference. Now, the other point that I had to make, just to better understand this independence that I've come across, is counter-dependent. And that is where us most males, that's the opposite of codependent, and that's where most males are trapped in. And that is a silent, for me, I call it the silent killer of a relationship, the cholesterol. It's where you look independent and you act independent, but it comes from just from you because you had a failure to trust others, so you make yourself in a little bubble. And a path of being abused, your boundaries is just for yourself. You're self-centered, you're in denial. So it's and you have a problem with intimacy, opening up emotionally.
Wow.
So there's
this is really good.
So I've drawn a little triangle here just to get all this independent, codependent, and counterdependent. Basically, it's a triangle. On top of the triangle is independence. That's what we all want to strive to. But the true independence, and on your left side, you've got codependent. And on your right side, you've got counter-dependent. Mm. So normally, the left side, codependent, is touch with your feminine side. I call that normally your clinger.
Mm.
On your right side, codependent, that's masculine. That's normally too much masculine power, too much masculine energy. And I call that the runner.
So that's the counter dependent.
Yes.
Right.
Now we go back to codependent. Normally your codependent had enough now, and now it wants to be independent, but it skips parts where you had to look at yourself to go in. To yourself to go independent, and they go to counter-dependent.
Ah.
And sometimes people see counter-dependent as independent. It's like a false independent.
I really like this. It's easy to follow.
Yes, so it's very simple. And then what we strive, so one is balance on the one side, there's too much of the maybe the feminine can be, and the other side most probably too much of the masculine, and it's all because the counter one is about abuse. There was abuse, there was no trust, so that's why the walls were built, and it's me myself, and I don't need anyone else. And the codependent is just the lack of boundaries. There's no boundaries. So it wants to please the whole time people because it doesn't know oneself. So it wants to latch on almost to another one's personality.
The codependent.
The codependent, yes.
Okay.
So now once the codependent starts putting more boundaries in and trying to deep inside go, because normally codependence is fear of separation, and you normally have a past of being abandoned. So I think it's valuable when you start with to see what you want to heal is to make sure where you are. Are you independent, truly independent, or are you counter-dependent?
Yes.
Or are you codependent?
Or do you fluctuate? Think, maybe you visit both worlds.
Yeah, well, then there's falseness. So I think once you have what you really are, where you are, then you can start delving into how to better manage it, how to get to independent. But you really need to go and look in yourself, especially the counter-dependent. There's a lot of males and females that say they're independent and all that kind of stuff, but it's almost like a mask of they're independent because they do not want to interact with other people, because they do not trust them. There's a fear of being hurt. You'll find normally the counter-dependent as well. There's a lot of resistance to ask for help because they know the answer. It's just their journey.
Do you feel that it's as part of going from codependent, the natural tendency without awareness would be to swing to the other side of counter-dependent before one can
absolutely
go to independence? Do you find that it can be skipped? You don't need to go down that other road if you have the awareness.
Yes. Now, the problem is with our society and our human race is we want everything quick. When we realize, let's say, I'm a codependent, now I want to fix it, and I want to fix it as quick as possible. But unfortunately, there is steps to be taken. You did not become codependent overnight. You need to go through certain phases to work through your codependentness. But a lot of people want to do that quick, and they normally end up in the counter-dependent part.
Okay,
because now
that's
they
great.
Come from the sorrow, sadness, being manipulated, or all that stuff that they didn't want to work with. Now they skip from that to anger, to counter-dependent. Mm. And I'm going to stand on my own, and no one's going to hurt me anymore, and I'm building walls around me that no one can get in because I'm not going to get hurt anymore. And that is not independent. That is counter-dependent.
I can recognize that in myself, you know, over the decades. I think this is really well said.
Yes. So now on top of independent, now what we want to strive as humans is interdependent. And interdependent, I've got a good summary here, is when two people or groups, two groups or how many groups, both strong individuals or both strong groups are involved with each other, but without sacrificing themselves or compromising their values. And that is interdependent. And that is what we strive for. So when we reach independence, we want to still share, we want to still communicate. We don't want to lock ourselves away because now we're too afraid that now my balance is going to get imbalanced if somebody else gets in.
Right.
So right on top of the triangle, on top of independence, I put interdependent, and that is the ultimate that we want. And you cannot get to interdependent if you're not independent with yourself.
This makes perfect sense. It's easy to understand. Good straight talk.
Yes. Yeah. So now this is where the communication in couples come in. So if there's no communication in the couple, the one is not going to know, because normally the one is counter-dependent and the other one is codependent. So,
well, and I think go ahead.
And I think to lighten the load, to start lightening the load, one will not start without the other one starting, because you want it equal, and this is where communication is the important part. You need to talk about your feelings in both sides.
I would think that it's not an easy, without some kind of understanding of who you are and the other person, without it being personal, I would think that's not an easy conversation to have if one is sad and the other's angry. It's like the other one just can't understand. I can see why, without this awareness, it's not been an easy time.
Yes. But that's why you need to be honest with yourself. And just look at yourself maybe objectively.
I think this is probably, as people are listening, one of the best techniques for me is when I've been going through my own conscious awareness, all of these things increasing and working with this for over 10 years specifically, I find that being aware of projecting is the best way to know where to start with yourself. When you start getting really angry at someone, or, you know, you're pointing the finger, as the codependent would do, it's a great opportunity to stop yourself and say, where is that I need to look at myself? Would you agree, Sean, or what would you add to that?
Yes, totally agree. I totally agree with that.
Go ahead.
As a couple, normally, because for me, the feminine has got the most power, and they are in charge of the emotional energy. Us males do not talk or do like to talk when we do not feel safe to talk about our feelings. So it's important for a female to start working with the feelings and start talking about her feelings, to almost entice the male to talk about his, and without judgment, doing it from both sides.
One of the rules that we put in our house many years ago for my children and my husband is, at the very least, you may not like me at the moment or at all. It doesn't matter, but we're in the same house and respect is non-negotiable. And if you want to have a conversation, I'll do it. We can do it without anger. Otherwise, let's have an agreement that we stop and then come to the table neutral and with love is behind the motivation to see what's going on. What do you think about that, Sean, as a man?
I totally agree. And I think once the male stops seeing relationships as a challenge and maybe see it as a add-on help to improve yourself, because your only closest partner will push your buttons that you need to work at or need to look at. So you must look at it as a benefit, your partner, and not as a challenge. The challenge is within you. Don't see your partner as the challenge. I've always had this kind of a logic. If you want to, you're on a spiritual path and all that kind of, and you want to better your life, you want to delve more deep into your side, there's no faster way than doing that as in a relationship. Because when you're single, there's not much touching your buttons if you do not go out to those environments. And you can almost put yourself in an environment where you know your buttons won't get touched. So it's almost a safe zone where you can put yourself into.
And so it's this counter dependent is just perpetuated. It's a good point.
That's, so there we go. Then we'll go singles without them noticing, if they're not aware and not aware why they are where they are, they'll most probably end up into a counter-dependent.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the relationship part, yes, it's important for us males just to not see everything as a challenge, but to start opening up and start looking at our feelings. But also for the female to keep a safe space for when we do that, so not be attacked or not be judged. Because it's a very, very vulnerable state for us. And as males, we do not like to be weak, and we do not like to be seen as vulnerable.
Because we certainly trained you all to, as a society, that's, you know, a real man wouldn't allow that.
Yes. Basically, yes, because we didn't have training in emotional stuff. Very few had the emotional training side. It's one of those classes we tend to skip if there's nobody pushing us in that direction.
Mm.
So so that's why I feel sometimes the woman needs to be the front runner in the emotional side, because we didn't have teachers to teach us how to open up, how to deal with emotions, how to work with them, what sign is it. We had nothing of that. For all we see is emotion as a weakness. So by women working on the emotions in front of us and dissecting it and also helping us to see this is right, this is like that thing, we will start opening up as well.
I think too, I don't want to take time away from your points. May I?
No.
Okay. What I see often is, because of codependence being such a big thing in society and in relationships, I think, too, that the women are afraid to lose their men if that codependence isn't there. And then the counter dependence that gets displayed back kind of keeps everything hypersensitive and nothing gets addressed. I think women need to be aware of their own codependence and to understand that being independent actually makes you more desirable.
Yes, independence is going to make you stronger as a person. I promise you, as males, we do not like clingers. We do not like women who just is over emotional and are not strong standing in their womanly power. There's no man that likes that. And if there's a man that likes that, that's a controlling man.
Mm. Okay, what about the knight in shining armor men? The men that like that and are attracted. Sorry?
Yes, there's different ways of seeing that knight in shining armor. For me, that knight in shining armor is, there's so many wolves among the sheep. For me, it's better to you work on yourself, be your own knight in shining armor.
Mm.
And you'll attract the right kind.
Well,
because
there's
a lot of women that
wait. Is another,
yes,
codependent, wouldn't you say?
In a way, yes. But it's going to be more controlling, because it comes with the masculine energy. And masculine energy is much, it's a stronger action. It's an overpowering energy.
Well, it never works in any relationship. In my professional practice, we've spoken a lot over the years, clients and I, about recognizing that it's just tending to a wound that you have. and no relation. It will crash and burn because you both have these wounds. So this relationship is wounded, and you're just perpetuating each other's wounds. And sadly, that independence is lacking. So the couple is going to see a relationship that just can't. It has no strong foundation. And so if you're looking to build a stronger relationship or long-term relationship or build a family, this is just not going to work.
Yes. And I think a lot of emphasis is put on relationship when they want to make a relationship better. They focus so much on the relationship, and they focus too much on the togetherness, where they do not look at themselves as well. And that is where your main problem is. When you want to work on a relationship, you need to work on yourself from both parties.
In other words, the power goes to the relationship, which is another codependent thing, instead of, I expect you to be a happy, self-supporting, contributing citizen. I come to this relationship as a happy, self-supporting, contributing citizen, and together we can create amazing things until negativity us do part, that kind of a thing.
That's it. For me, the codependent, a good example of, like, let's say a codependent, another codependent wants to become stronger, more independent. So one of the things about the codependent is poor boundaries. So poor boundaries to yourself. So now you start putting in boundaries for yourself. So now the other half will say, what is this now? I'm not used to that. And this is now where communication starts. Now you say, why? I'm not just putting it up because of selfishness. I'm putting this up because I do not like this. I do not like this for myself. And if your partner cannot see that, then I don't understand then how that relationship is going to get better.
Right. And going back earlier, we talked about flinging words around. Codependence often means that you can't be your full self, you think, unless the other person follows certain behavioral rules that you have instituted.
Yes.
So I think that it's very important to recognize this for yourself, as there are many people listening that have families, and really, as Sean, as you said earlier, being aware of yourself first.
Yes.
And what this means for you and how you think it through, then you can have a great conversation about, hey, you know, I was listening to this program, and it really meant a lot to me to hear this man be so open and honest and straight about, here's what it's like for us men. I'd like to know what you think, honey, or whoever the masculine is in the relationship. It doesn't matter if it's two men, two women, but to really open up this dialogue and to recognize that it really is a beautiful journey of exploration. And the more you do it for yourself first, you really start to get excited about it, and you can start to feel some of the walls come down. I don't know what you think about that, Sean, as a man. Would you agree? Is that your experience?
It is experience, yes. And like the best thing that I've had in my relationship, in previous relationship, I would not open up. There is no way, because for everything you open up, you get attacked. And like I said, that you need the safe zone of talking about feelings and why am I angry, and listening to the person actually when he says, why is he angry? And not just angry and you want to defend whatever anger he comes at, but just listening to it and to see, okay, where can we compromise, or where can I compromise to help him with his anger? Or maybe it's his own fault.
And wouldn't you agree, too, that a lot of the behavior is learned through what they see their own parents doing? So a man can only be as good as what they, and anybody, women too, this is how the roles are supposed to play out.
And that is the importance of, that's the part almost we skipped when we get together as couples. As we do not find time for information of a person's past. Because if you have information of a person's past, we want to go straight to the thing here and now, and that's fine and that, but you need the person's past history to understand the person.
And oftentimes,
that kind of thing is to get to know each other.
Right, exactly. I was just going to say, a lot of times you get swept up in being in love and the relationship's exciting and fun, and then all of a sudden it goes to another level, and then behavior traits that were learned and, you know, no awareness about it, most likely, people fall into, well, I'm the husband now, this is how it was in my home, and you just fall into behaviors. There may be a lack of awareness that you're turning into, oh, my God, I've turned into my own mother, or, oh, my God, I've become my father. What the heck happened here?
Yes. And you'll only start realizing that when you start talking to each other. Because otherwise you're on some... Yes, to understand? No, that's fine.
And to understand that it's typical and natural and how it's been going on since the beginning of time, that we perpetuate this through the generations. And that's why you hear so much about sins of the forefathers. It's handing down behaviors, you know, and not understanding. It's not just cultural. It's what you grew up in, the behavior imprints. This is the only skill you know, and this is what you've learned and how you handle these situations. You know, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would agree. And that's also a sure sign of, if you fall into that kind of trap, that there is lack of looking at yourself, like trying to improve myself. Then you're just going to fall into that default that you've been taught, and that's just going to be a vicious circle.
Yes.
And that is the importance of looking at yourself and looking at your feelings, where it comes from, your past and all that, so to break that circle. But men don't quite get that yet, because it's not going to, you need to look at yourself.
You know, it's been my experience that the way my makeup is and the way I know myself, I like to approach everything from a bigger picture. I tend to, it's almost like business. I look at everything as a bigger picture. What are the components? I'm an observer. And then I like to have a very factual conversation about it. And I feel that that is a really good way to approach a conversation oftentimes with anyone, because it is not emotional. It is, hey, look, let's just talk about this. Is that a good approach with men? I know everyone's different, but would you say, if you don't know how to begin the conversation, do you think dealing with logic as if you're talking about business is, you know, like, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this. I'm really excited about it. It's new information, and I'd like to know your thoughts and maybe your feelings about it. What do you think, Sean? Is that a good way to approach your man?
Yes, that's a fine way to try to include him. What we do not do well is if you start with a conversation by telling us things. Because remember, our mother used to tell us things, and we do not.
Oh, I love that.
We tend not to, yeah. So try to include us. You want to hear our thoughts, where we have a choice. So it's not going to be like almost forced upon you, this conversation.
I think that's very important. I think we've lost the art of conversation as well overall. We don't have that relationship with ourselves first. I think when you develop these abilities inside first, naturally you have a better way of communicating with others and you're more open to listening, you have compassion, the judgment falls away, unconditional love can then be allowed in the space, because judgment is the opposite, right? So
yes.
This is great.
What I think is also important when you start, let's say, for instance, when you talk about your day, and this happened and this happened, not just to talk about all the bad, but what you've learned from that day and that emotion, what did you learn in that emotion? All that stuff that went on in your head, how to figure things out, maybe talk about it. Because then we men, we won't just hear moaning.
Right.
We see how you felt, we see how you got to the conclusion of it is maybe my problem and I need to work with that and all that kind of stuff. We will most probably sit and just listen, but we'll take it in. Because there will be some things
that
is the same for us.
Sure.
And that we haven't looked at. So it's maybe just not talking about the bad, but talking about your whole process that went on in your head of how you got to this conclusion and all that kind of stuff. And that will maybe open up a conversation between the two of you. And he will start saying something about his day. I don't know. And it will just flow like that. But
he'll
a lot of people
safe.
Just come, they come in a conversation, now we need to talk about our day, how was your day, and it is just, oh, it was terrible, this and this irritated me, and this, but there's no, why did that one irritate you? There's no figuring out. So maybe the conversations, having it like that kind of stuff, it will also start working on yourself, start asking questions for yourself.
And
but
also
now you do it in front of your husband.
And it's my observation, at least here in the States, I don't know what you see in South Africa and the areas you've traveled, but the men are so burdened with being the provider, it seems like if you sit and moan about everything that was negative in your day, they're going to feel overburdened again, like it's their job to fix that. Is that true?
Yes. And what helps me as well is that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned is do not try and fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just listening is fixing it. It does not make sense in the beginning for us, but it works.
Yes.
But now the other part happens as well. Then what females need to remember then as well is when the male talks as well, let him vent as well.
Yes.
And maybe just listen to him and give him comfort and support, but not try and fix it then for him.
It doesn't hurt to say, I'm listening to everything you're saying, and you're very passionate and emotional about it, and it's great that you're telling me this, but just help me to understand as your mate, do you want, are you venting, or do you need some help with this? I think that's not a bad
thing. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Remember, we're very simple creatures, and by explaining things just simple, we understand it. So it sounds stupid, like, is this now, do you want me to fix it, or do you want me just to listen? It sounds like a super simple question, but that's going to save a lot of arguments, I promise you.
Yes. I've done that for years. It's the best thing to do, because you can respond appropriately, and it helps build that confidence and that trust and feeling safe. It's that KISS
yes.
method, you know, the acronym Keep It Simple, Stupid.
Yes. Or Sean.
keep it simple, Sean. Keep it simple, silly.
Yeah.
Like that. So, Sean, I think we're getting to the point where you have to leave for the day.
Yes.
I'm so glad you were here today.
To
is there something you'd like to summarize? Like, I hope you felt heard. I hung on to every word you had to say personally and made a lot of notes.
I just want to make it clear to find yourself, where are you? Are you really independent, or are you a counter-dependent? Or are you counter-dependent? to really go and look to see where you are in the situation, because a lot of people are, they don't quite know where they are, and go and make sure where you are in the relationship or with yourself, and then work from there. It's almost like when you go to an AA meeting, the first thing is to realize what you are and to stand up and say, okay, I am this. And only when you say that, now we can work with this. And it's the same with this. But you need to be honest with yourself. Okay. Good.
Sean, thank you. This was so awesome.
Thanks a lot, babe.
Good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right.
Me too.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Sean. That was very informative, very interesting. And it sounds like you got a lot out of that, Faith.
Oh, my gosh. I too love simplistic ways. And you know me. I love a process.
Yes.
And diagrams, and it helps me, I kind of think probably, I don't know, take it for what it's worth, but I always thought I thought more like a man. I find it, I like that, I like their, you know, maybe that's, I don't know, I just feel like I always approach things more factually, more, you know, don't get bogged down in the stuff. I can emote over it later when I do the inner work, but I like to understand how things work, what it's showing me, and then I can work with it. I need some kind of framework or process. That must be my Virgo ascendant. But I really enjoyed the information, and I wanted to now interview you a little bit, if I could, unless there's a couple of points that you'd like to bring up before you forget.
No, look, I think Sean made it very, very clear in his very simple way, able to put things across in such a simple way is for me just so exciting. And there I must say that Sean has helped me so much, you know, as a partner, as my best friend, etc., in understanding just how these processes work. And what I love about the way Sean does things is it keep it, you know, his motto is keep it super simple. So, you know, that for me has just been such a gift. And so more than that, no, there's not much more to say, because, you know, I've had the the privilege of speaking to Sean every day, and you know, the information that comes out of his mouth is, you know, my jaw just hangs at times. And it's just so refreshing getting this different perspective and seeing what this whole perspective can actually trigger within us when we start looking at the fact that, you know, well, gosh, maybe I am more sort of counter-dependent than what I thought I was independent, or I'm perhaps more codependent than I thought I was counter-dependent. These are just these different things that get triggered in the mind. So I'm very grateful to Sean for being with us today and bringing this sort of masculine perspective to what it is that we're working with today. So I'm very grateful for that. And Faith, I'm very grateful for you having the conversation with Sean and, you know, just hearing his perspective on how things can unfold between people in these kinds of relationships, and especially relationships between men and women. And, you know, just seeing that fine line between codependency and counterdependency for me was just absolutely fascinating.
Oh, my God. Loved that. I can see in my own childhood growing up where I didn't have the support, and you know, you're naturally probably codependent, and then that my going to the absolute opposite of that in being that counterdependent, thinking I was independent, you know, and it served me very well to get to know myself better, but it's not a healthy independence. So I really loved this very much. And I was wondering, Michelle, if you think, it kind of seems to me that in a very generalistic way, and certainly non-judgmental, but it seems like in most relationships, we see the women taking on the role of the clingy, sad, codependent person, and the masculine in the in relationship being that counter-dependent. That's, you know, and it's such a huge crevasse, you know, it's such a huge canyon between the two. Would you say that's true in your
Absolutely.
Experience?
Absolutely, Faith. And, you know, I've had to also, for me, look, this whole subject for today's show has been so great because in, you know, Sean and I talking about all of this and the different faces, you know, of dependency, it was incredible for me to see how I most certainly stepped out of codependency, one foot from codependency, and I stepped straight into counterdependency, where it was both were extremely traumatic to experience. And like Sean said, you know, codependency generally comes about as a result of a past involving abandonment. So if any of us have experienced any level of abandonment in our life, what is the first thing that happens after we've been abandoned is we're terrified of separation. So separation anxiety steps in and it becomes galvanized within our system. And as a result of the fear of separation, as a result of being abandoned, we cannot develop any kind of boundary. And as a result, you know, there are all these different problems that we experience with intimacy as a result of the lack of poor boundaries. We go into complete denial with regards to what it is that we really need. Because of our fear of separation, there are no boundaries within ourselves. So because we want to please people all the time, we deny our own needs and our own instinct at times. Where I found specifically, if I think back to my codependent relationships, is you sacrifice, you do whatever it takes to keep that person happy. And absolutely, yes, I was the codependent one initially. I was married to a counter-dependent man. And I found eventually what had happened is I had buried so much anger as a result of being a people pleaser, doing whatever it was just to keep the peace. And my first marriage was involved domestic violence as well. So, you know, because there was no boundaries, I could not stand up for myself. But then eventually, as I kind of like worked with myself and eventually got out of the marriage after 8.5 years, I now, in hindsight, can see I did not become the independent woman that I imagined I was becoming. I stepped fully into counterdependence. And, you know, as being counterdependent, one of my big things that, you know, that kind of like escalated out of there was the inability to trust others. And one of the reasons that we become counterdependent is as a result of past abuse. So, you know, I can see from my childhood all the abuse, the abandonment. I mean, you know my history. Yeah. And then relationships around that. You know, just jumping from codependency to counterdependency was actually so, so easy for me because of that abuse, I became very, very rigid around allowing people to help me. I would not ask for help because I'd been programmed that if I ask for help or anyone does me a favor, they want something in return. So I thought, oh no, screw this. You know, I'm tired of hidden agenda. You know, it doesn't exist. You don't get anything for nothing. You know, there's no free ride. That doesn't exist. People are not going to help you. They always want something out of it. That was the mindset that I developed because those are the kinds of environments I found myself in. It was the kinds of people I was attracted to attracted by. And it took years of really in-depth self-searching to get to the point where I am now. And Sean and I have, we've been living together, involved with each other 7 years. We've known each other for 10 years. We were very good friends before we got involved. So I must say that my journey with Sean has probably been the most life-changing of my entire life. Because like he said, you know, it's very easy to sit in a single space where you're not interacting much with the outside world and you don't really have anyone pushing your buttons. And, you know, this is not to say that, you know, it's bad being on your own or choosing not to be in a relationship. That's entirely your decision. I want to make it very clear, there's no judgment around choosing to be single. All we're saying and what Sean was saying is, you know, it's easier to remain in a single sort of relationship rather than stepping out and, you know, exposing your vulnerable side to some things you cannot even expect. And, you know, when Sean and I got together, I mean, I had divorced my third husband. So, I mean, I was so over relationships. It was like, this is not for me. So, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the fridge magnet, got the hand towel, got the tea cap.
Fridge magnet.
So, it was all there. But what I also found was inside of me, there was this pining for, you know, to be connected. But then again, I've got a Mars-Moon conjunction in Libra. You know, relationships are really important to me. But I had made the decision when I realized I had more feelings for Sean than I had actually acknowledged previously. I had then said to spirit, you know, if this is something that looks like it's going to be pursued on another level, I am ready for a relationship where we bring out the best in each other.
Exactly.
It is mutual unconditional love. It is mutual respect and acceptance of one another's path. It is mutual and unconditional support of one another whilst we grow through our processes together. And I was also adamant that we grow together. It's not this growing apart that often happens. Although I'd set this intention for this amazing relationship, oh my goodness, did it come with a red hot poker, because, you know, you're delving into places you kind of like did not know were going to come up, because I had never been at that point in any relationship before. And the same with Sean. But besides that, Faith, I had gone as far as I could in the relationship I had with myself. I really felt that I had gone as far as I can on my own, and the next step would be that there's someone else that takes me to the next level. Not that I was depending on them to take me there, but the process that would naturally unfold as a result was inevitably going to take me somewhere. And I was ready for that. So,
well said. Oh my God,
yeah.
That's so key. That's beautiful.
Yes. Thank you. No, thank you.
I think you two are amazing. You know I adore you, and people that have been listening know we're very, very good friends. You're more of a sister to me than a friend. I'm just very honored and thrilled to have you in my life. And as a friendship, I feel we have this level. It's one of the most satisfying relationships in my life, and I want to thank you for that. And one of the things that I love that we do in this show is, as we talk about things, we are like soul coaches and mentors. So mm-hmm. I guess at the end of this broadcast, I think the reason why we're talking about all of this is you cannot access your spirituality without going through the emotional doorway. And one of the things that you said in our last show, I really liked, and I want to just remind everyone that, you know, our exterior reality mirrors our inner world, and we build defenses due to our survival mode, and we can't see the codependence. So really being the individuated self that we really can be, like never before, because of the changes on Earth, it's important to remember that every one of us are souls with challenges, and karmic contracts are over. They ended December 2012, and with the palaceofpeace.net that Michelle is the founder and creator of, we've been doing programs and projects bringing in the new Aquarian age, preparing Earth for that. Could you talk a little bit about how this all connects, why we're talking about this very important subject today, where we're heading with the Aquarian age? Do you understand kind of what I'm saying?
I hope so, Faith. So I'll answer your question to the best of my ability. And if I've left anything out, just give me a shout.
Being individuated, yeah, and the importance of where we're heading as a society, as humanity, and as souls growing with different challenges and growing from light experiences versus just dark, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. You know, Faith, I think the primary objective here in terms of what these Earth Guardian projects are all about and all the work that we're doing at Palace of Peace is that we are committed to anchoring the golden age of peace on Earth. And this is part of our primary motivation leading up to December 2020 and the two-year period between December 2020 and December 2022, during which time we have the opportunity as a global community to concentrate during those 24 months primarily on anchoring the Golden Age of Peace Foundation grid on Earth. Because in December 2020, 19th, 20th, and 21st, or let's say between the 19th and 22nd of December, that is when the final stage of the Aquarian Age is being anchored. So it's been, 50-odd years of this energy building from when the Aquarian Age first ignited. And the other part of this is accepting, acknowledging, and truly embracing the fact that we are one with Mother Earth. So everything connected to us is a reflection of Mother Earth, and vice versa. So, we've spoken about, like you said, our inner world creates our external world, and the external world is a reflection of what's going on the inside. And Mother Earth has suffered. Nature suffers at times. I mean, there's so many different angles and aspects and elements to all of this. But the most important thing for all of us to also just accept and acknowledge and take ownership for is if we continue living our codependent, counterdependent lives, which entail, not wanting to have anyone help us, living in denial, being angry, completely sacrificing one's own values as a result, our world is not going to get anywhere. It's not going to get any better. And if we are wanting to create a better world, and I'm going to, hog the cliche, become the change you want to see in the world. And this, again, is another primary source code within what it is that we do at the Palace of Peace. So if you take everything into account that I've just said, and we look at ourselves as being reflections of what's happening around us, and we also see ourselves as the cells of Mother Earth's body. We are living, breathing entities. We are part of her body. If we are going to allow abuse, disregard, detachment in a negative sense, and just carry on living our lives with absolute no regard for the consequences of our actions, we are most certainly going to destroy this planet. We are going to destroy everything that is connected to it. And, you know, as I've said before, the reset button is going to be set, and all the major earth changes that so many people were afraid of happening in 2012 will then hit our planet with a vengeance. Probably going more towards 2048, but there's nothing to say that it won't stop those earth changes from beginning sooner, because Goddess Gaia herself as a being has made the decision that she is reclaiming her power. She is the earth element within our Milky Way. As a planet, she is an element, she bodies energy, and that element is being abused. And anyone who has studied any kind of metaphysics or any kind of esoteric material knows that the one thing you do not do is abuse the elements. You do not abuse any form of life. There is the law of cause and effect for a reason. So now let's fast forward to what it is that we're doing in our projects. The main theme is that we as Earth Guardians, and what that means is we loved Goddess Gaia so much that we chose to return to Earth as guardians of the earth realm, the earth element, and everything that is a part of the earth realm. And by protecting it, we are not just shielding it. We are protecting and guarding Mother Earth by ensuring that the energies that are reflected through us are energies that embody the sacredness of what Goddess Gaia represents. And it's not just about representing Gaia's sacredness. It's also about representing our sacredness as sacred beings who have incarnated on Earth in a human form. And the human form is not an alien form. It's actually quite a common form, if I can use that word loosely, throughout many planes of existence. And this takes us back to the saying, we were created in the image of God, or image of the gods, whichever you prefer. So taking that in hand and honoring our body as a temple, honoring our boundaries, because self-love entails doing the things that reflect loving yourself. So boundaries, listening to what your body needs, meeting the needs of your emotional self, taking time to transparent your inner child, connecting with the aspects of yourself that are in an arrested state of development as a result of abuse and trauma, which automatically lead to either counter-dependent or codependent relationships. We are actually just, echoing the many aspects of what needs to happen upon every level of life. We are taught as within, so without, as above, so below. So when people actually start listening to what these ancient masters have said, and actually even come, fast forward, let's listen to Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and Eckhart Tolle and, excuse me if I pronounce your surname incorrectly, Marianne Williamson. I mean, the list goes on. There are so many fabulous teachers out there, and we are generally saying more or less the same thing. And it's not just New Age. There are incredibly profound and very, very sacred life changes changing teachings in Buddhism, in Christianity, in Kabbalah, in so many different ones. Sorry, I'm not bringing them all off the top of my head yet, but I'm trying to make a point that we are saying the same thing. And Palace of Peace, which is my brainchild, we originally started as Lightweaver, changed the name on the 11th of the 11th, 2011 to Palace of Peace. And in actual fact, just a quick add in here, my beautiful oldest son is in the process of creating a completely new website for Palace of Peace as well, which reflects all the new energies that have been coming through and, you know, how we've all kind of like transcended a number of our insecurities and come to find a more restful place within ourselves. And the new website is going to reflect all of that. So look out for the launch announcement on that. It's going to be so easy to access information. It's very, very exciting. So, and it's also going to be very easy to access the information in terms of what project we're working on and what's happening. So this comes back to, let me bring it back now to, I have joined the dots up sufficiently for you, Faith, but basically if we come to what it is that we're doing here, it is about healing human and planet, because the planet and humanity are not separate from each other. We need soil in which to grow our food. We need water to hydrate our body. We need the sun. We need the moon. I mean, we need what is here. We cannot survive without it. We cannot survive without love. So, you know, loving ourselves is so important. And, you know, we often told that you cannot love another unless you love yourself completely. And I sat with that for many years. I was like, how is that possible when I feel my heart bursting with love for my children or for my husband, but I'm really, really, really struggling with some things with regards to myself? And oh my goodness, self-love was one of my hugest challenges, because I come from a space of abandonment and abuse right from the get-go. So it has been such an intensive and long journey. And what I then realized was, the more I loved myself, the more I was able to listen to what the rest of my world was asking for, because I was listening to myself. I was able to respect other people's boundaries, because for the first time in my life, I had boundaries. I was able to put an end to the cycle of abuse, because for the first time, I realized why personal boundaries are so important. And the cycle of abuse can be so subtle. And what I'm referring to here, if I also fast forward right towards the end of my really intensive process of coming to love myself, was seeing that I deserve to take weekends off. I do not have to work 7 days a week. I do not have to work 18 hours a day. And I do not have to be on 24/7 call to all of my clients, because that is not loving of me. I was working ridiculous hours, getting sick all the time. It was either a cold or a sore throat. And my sore throat wouldn't just be a sore throat. Oh, no, I would go all the way to laryngitis. You know, it was like, sorry, girlfriend, no more work kind of thing. So that for me was a huge step, learning to say no to other people and saying yes to myself, because for so long I'd been saying yes to everyone else and no to myself. Then the next thing I had to deal with that, in conjunction with that, was the guilt. The guilt of saying no to other people and doing what was good for me. And there I must admit, Sean helped me immensely, because, you know, becoming a wife again, and I mean, I've got four of my own children and then Sean's little one. It was something, you know, to get used to sharing our space with someone else who has different values. It has a different life process, and you know, the two lives have got to now merge as one. And Sean absolutely insisted, family time is family time. You close up shop on Friday afternoon, and you are only going back into the office on Monday morning.
Yeah,
and that was huge for me, Faith. Huge. Because
I know you.
You know, exactly. And one of the things with counter-dependence is, you know, workaholic, is you just throw yourself into your work because there's so many other things that, you know, you don't want to deal with. You don't worry. I wasn't worried about intimacy because I wasn't interested in a relationship at that time. So all I did was work. And prior to that, my third and final marriage, it was such a traumatic experience because I became the sole breadwinner. I was looking after three small children on my own, had very little support from the man I was married to. So I was working 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, looking after my newborn twins with my toddler and my other child who was just about finishing school. I built up so much anger and so much resentment. And I actually started hating, and I'm using the word hate, hating my job. I would sob before every course I had to teach. I would sob before every reading I had to do because it was so hard doing it. And eventually it also got to a point where I had to ask myself, how much longer can I keep this up? Because it was destroying me. And as most of you know, in 2014, I ended up in hospital having my gallbladder removed with 422 gallstones in it. That's a whole bunch of resentment that went into that creation. And 2013, I had a cancerous growth removed from my arm. And then in 2014, I was diagnosed with stage 3 melanoma cancer. I had to decide, do I want to be here or do I want to go? So there was so much that I have learned as a result of being in a relationship with someone who is open to life in the same way as I am. And he really, really helped me see things that perhaps most people in a counter-dependent or codependent relationship can't see. Because what is the primary thing between both? Denial. And denial is, in a way, it's a state of lying to ourselves. And you know, you can color it in with, you know, pink and yellow and blue and orange and try and make it as pretty as you want to, but at the end of the day, denial is lying to ourselves. But we need to be compassionate with regards to why the denial is there. And this is why I feel, you know, what Sean said was so incredible in terms of the communication aspect of working into it and learning self-love. And our projects most certainly inspire and encourage all participants to go deeper and deeper within the self. Yes, it burns like a bitch at times. I mean, it feels like your soul is on fire. It feels like you just want to die. It's like, please, God, have mercy on my soul.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, God is having mercy on our soul because he's taking us through these valleys of darkness where we come to find our light so that we leave that denial behind once and for all. And I must say, you know, Faith, I have been doing this work professionally, full-time, for 22 years. And in the 22 years of doing this, and more so probably the last 10 years, and especially with me awakening to the many deeper levels and realms of myself, it's become very clear that, you know, codependency and counterdependency is actually rife within, I'm going to call it, our spiritual community for now. And think of it, it would be like that because most people who step onto this path have been through immense abuse, immense suffering, and they're wanting to get out of the so-called hellhole. And you know, if we're dealing with denial, and Ketumi Agrippa, has been speaking at length, especially during the activation week of our Middle East Phase 3 project, which included South Africa and Zimbabwe, spoke at length, about denial and, clinging to the past. And it's been such an eye opener in seeing how easy it is for people to get locked into one singular perspective, which makes it a very subjective perspective rather than an objective one. Because when we're standing in a space of objectivity, we don't take things personally. And that is also another journey and a half, okay?
It's so powerful, though. I love that. That helps you be in peace, which, my favorite phrase is peace is where your power is.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. True. It's the observer is, go ahead.
Sorry, Faith. Yes, being the observer. But the other thing is, which people, I think a lot of our listeners must understand, and I actually posted a meme on my Facebook page during this week, how, being on a spiritual path is not just about being positive. Being on a spiritual path is going into the negative aspects of us, of ourselves, and, getting our hands dirty, going into those dark places, because the theme of energy since our Middle East Phase 3 project, which ended that came to a close on the 8th of March, the theme for that is darkness meets the light. And this is because that project is ended doesn't mean that the theme is ended. And this is a theme going forward for a long time to come, is all the inner darkness must meet the light at some stage. And the way we expand our light is by learning to be objective. And I think for me, again, coming from, having the history that I have, coming from being codependent and counterdependent, and finding my independence in a healthy manner, being in an interdependent relationship, has been so liberating. But learning to be objective, I think, was one of the most difficult things I had to do, because, and I'm sure anyone who is now recognizing the faces of their codependence or the faces of their counterdependence can understand that being objective and not defensive is extremely difficult in the beginning. It's kind of like teaching an old dog new tricks. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but in this case, we have to. We need to learn these things. We are deconditioning ourselves from all of these false belief systems and outdated ways of living life. And it's vitally important that we do this, Faith, because we come from a history of codependent and counterdependent men and women. Our ancestors were in that space. So, I think if we also, quit judging ourselves for, the things that we've done in our past, and quit judging our parents and our peers and the bullies and all of that, then we can get real in real time here and now, and, get stuck into what matters here and now so that the future is different. And this is another aspect of our projects that are so vitally important, is grounding ourselves in the here and now. And the Gossamer Grids, which we're currently working on now, which will only be made public in the beginning of May, is also working on this being in the here and now, reconnecting with all these new energies that we were connected to before we descended into matter, and remembering the higher purposes of our sacred mission as Earth Guardians, because we are here to awaken ourselves, to remember our purpose, and to remember that, within that purpose, there were other bits and pieces that we chose to accompany it, but like was said in the Gossamer Grids, we were warned that there would be a time where the communication systems would break down because we were going so far into ground zero. But comms are being restored. All the benevolent beings of the light world, they are here. Our guardian angels, our spirit guides, Master Jesus, and all of those other benevolent beings that walk alongside him, Mary Magdalene, and all the other benevolent goddesses of the light who are working together and bringing all of this together as per Goddess Gaia's request. She sent out her 911 signal at 9/11. I mean, that was her 911 signal. It was, this is it, no more of this. So there's so many dimensions to what we're working with and what we're doing. And these projects, which have been going actively since December 2012, have completely transformed me as a person. That is not to say that I do not have bad days. Believe me, I do. And I find sometimes, you know, my own questioning just takes me deeper into myself. And then suddenly, you know, the brakes go on and the back pedal's like, okay, hold the phone. I don't even want to go there. Hold on. And it's too late. Slip down the rabbit hole. And you've got to go and just face yourself. And you've got to face these things. And it's daunting. Yes, it is. But think of it. If you do not do anything right now to change your current situation, guaranteed you're going to get a whole bunch more of what you've already got. If you are fed up, if you've had enough, if you're tired of yourself, if you're tired of everything else that's been happening, then things need to change. And maybe the first step is in acknowledging that you have either more of the codependent traits, or perhaps the counterdependent traits, or perhaps a bit of both. Maybe you've stepped out of many aspects of the codependency and the counterdependency and are kind of like halfway into independence, but, you know, still learning and growing. That's part of the process. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be squeaky clean, sorted out all your problems, zip zap in 1 week. Like Sean was saying, people wanted to change in 1 week. I've been on this path for 22 years, and it still stings like a bitch every now and then. So hope I joined the dots enough for you. Yeah. Faith, let me know if I missed anything.
Well, I think, you know, also mentioning too that Kutumi Agrippa, he's our world teacher and works through you, and we do these projects, and really we're working as Earth Guardians to address and assist Mother Earth's nervous system. And that affects us as well as all of the codes, peace particles, all of the things that people are unaware of that is happening on Mother Earth. So people are waking up to their own blueprint, their own design, and just to remember that and not be impatient of others. But in the Middle East Project, we did a lot of conversation or channelings about the importance of balancing masculine and feminine and doing that within the self and being healthy that way, and your own proper independence in each of those energies that you hold. Is there anything you'd like to add to that before I make another point, or...?
Faith, you know, I think just the relevant point there being that, you know, we're working with Mother Earth's central nervous system, which we call grids. You know, the upgrading of the planetary grids, new energies being infused into damaged grids that are being restored or refurbished, completely brand new grids that are being integrated into Mother Earth. But it's exactly the same with us. So it's the same applies to our central nervous system, and our chakras are receiving upgraded energies, restoring new balance, bringing about a whole new system of energy contained within our chakric grids, and expanding it beyond that to incorporate all the different aspects and dynamics that influence the central nervous system. So it's just such a huge collaboration in terms of how we're working with Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. It boils down to, you know, as within, so without, as above, so below. What we're working within ourselves is helping Mother Earth as well. Whatever aspect of sadness, grief, suffering, limitation that we heal within ourselves, that energy is changed within Mother Earth. So she's relieved of that energy because she is holding all of us. She's also weighed down by the collective energy, you know, if it's a very negative. So the lighter we become, the more we increase our vibrations by taking care of our physical health, our emotional health, mental health, and spiritual health, we lighten Goddess Gaia's load. So yes, that's the only little piece I wanted to add in, Faith.
I really love this. This is probably my most favorite show. On, I think about that with all our shows, but I really enjoy this. I think it's just so important, and the key to remembering, as things look worse to many people, it's by design. It's because change. And if you think about anything you change in your house, it always is a big mess before it can get tidied up and made better. But I think the key here is to remember, as you said, raising our vibration. That's, you know, stepping out of these fear-based ways of life. Victim consciousness becomes victory consciousness, etc. We've got to take loving actions towards ourselves, and because people don't know about self-love, how to do it. And one of the things I think the best way to do that is by understanding that an action that is love-based will bring love. Love is the result or the product of your love-motivated behavior. If you understand motivation behind something, and knowing that you're bringing your heart, feeling love, and bringing your mind connected to your heart, you're going to start seeing yourself differently, and that helps make you more light-filled, and you're able to look at your problems and not be so hard on yourself or your parents. You start to have more understanding to life here on Earth, and as we wrap up, and as I said earlier, the spirituality component of this very important topic is we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Mm-hmm. Stop wishing your time away here. Honor your time here. You made big plans to come here. It's a beautiful planet with so much available. Nature, just nature in of itself, is so inspiring and peace generating and love filling. Just what is it that you would love to experience here? Stop making it about the stuff, what you look like, if you've got a firm body, if your stomach is flat, who cares? At the end of the day, or when you're summing up your life, you're going to say, I am so glad I did whatever it is. Think about it. Think about what it is you would love to do here while you're here on Earth, because it's a temporary journey in the bigger part of who you are. And as Michelle said earlier, especially in the community that does light work, looking at your past and past lives, the masters will tell you, as Kutumi did, Kutumi Agrippa, they do not care who we were in past lives. Unless it's coming up as a natural part of healing something in your emotional world and mental world now, there's nothing more important than the life that you're in right now and being present in right now. And if you're worrying too much about the future, you're not enough in the present. If you have regret about the past, you're not enough in the present. Visit it and don't reside there. So just, you know, we hope that you use our programs to help you look at life a little differently so you can free yourself. There are people and works that Michelle has mentioned, as well as that is at the palaceofpeace.net or on my website, faithparent.net. Email us. Email us on the show. Send emails to me, faith@faithparent.net. How can we help you? It's the biggest year we have ever had to really be your full self and your independent self. And I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, Michelle, but I find this one of the most exciting times to be alive and to empower others to do the journey that you and I have been doing for very long periods of time with others and supporting clients, and we're still on it. It's probably the most juju-giving. it just really makes, you know, it makes my world here on earth, really making spirituality tangible. And this is what co-creating is about. Co-creating is bringing in the new ways and new ideas. We've maxed out in the old world, but you've got to be connected with your gifts, your talents, your wit, your charm. God gave you gifts in this lifetime that others may not like about you. Embrace those things and stop worrying about what other people think. Those days are over. And we hope this show is helping you on that journey to being your whole self, because we need you. We need your ideas and working with the beings of light and the higher parts of you just dying to work through you in this lifetime. So let it flow. Is there anything you'd like to say in summary, Michelle, as we wrap up our show?
Faith, all I would just like to add here is if any of you would like to, you know, see more of what Sean is up to and read some of his really awesome articles, you'll find him on Facebook. You can look for our page called The Evolved Man Project, which is a division of Palace of Peace. And Sean heads up the Evolved Man Project. If you can't find that, you can look up Sean Henry Manders, and you'll find him, and you'll be able to link to the Evolved Man Project from there. And this is just another aspect of what we are doing at Palace of Peace. Sean is also available for any one-on-one sessions if any ladies are wanting to understand how to deal with men in a different way, not coming from the usual girl way of doing things, but do it more from a guy's perspective. Sean is available for that too. If you would like to contact Sean, you can email him on sean.urbandragon, all one word, @gmail.com. Sean.urbandragon@gmail.com.
And men too, reach out.
Yes, and men too, definitely. Please. Amen. So thank you very much, Faith. Thank you for everyone for tuning in and listening. If you're finding that 90 minutes is just a little bit too long for you to listen to, we would suggest that you get creative. If you know got a long drive to work, you've got a lot of traffic that you've got to get through, you know, download our shows, listen to them while you're in traffic, or if you're on the tube or the bus or wherever you may be, while you're cooking your dinner. It's not anything that you need to meditate, or, you know, it's going to influence your do not operate heavy machinery by listening while you listen to this. It doesn't apply to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
And we welcome your comments, please. You know, there's a Facebook comment area at the Blog Talk Radio channel too. Please, you know, let us know. We'd love to hear from you about today's show in particular. I'm so thrilled Sean was able to join us. So thank you both.
Yes, thank you, Faith. And we'll be having a lot more of Sean here with us, Straight Talk with Sean Manders. We will have, and also be having some other guests join us throughout the year. So keep a lookout for our splurbs on Facebook, where you'll find out what our next show is up, what's going to be the topic for our next show. Thank you, Faith, for being here with me and co-hosting. And thank you again to all our regular listeners. And wonderful to share with you. If this is the first time you've listened to us, we really look forward to speaking to you next week again. Thank you, Faith. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.